now enter into the contemplation of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. We meditate on the salvation of the world through his sufferings, death, burial, and resurrection. Let us pray. Everlasting God, in your good and endless love for the human race, you sent our Lord Jesus Christ to take on our nature and to suffer death on the cross. In your mercy, enable us to share in his obedience to your will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the reading.
From Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will destroy me guilty? The word of God, the word of life.
Thanks.
Psalm 31, responsively. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with sorrow, and also my throat and my belly. I am the scorn of my enemies, a disgrace to my neighbors, a dismay to my acquaintances. When they see me in the street, they avoid me.
Like the dead, I am forgotten and out of mind. I am as useless as a broken pot.
For I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around. They put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life.
But as for me,
in your hand, rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me.
Let your face
share it as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Word of God, word of life.
You may be seated. Please find the reading booklet at the ends of the pews. Pass those down and share so everyone can participate. Your portion of the reading is listed in bold. Of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples,
"You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified."
Then the chief priests and the elders and the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and they conspired to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said,
"Not
was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. A woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were angry and said,
"Why are you late?
But Jesus, aware of this, said to them,
"Why do you trouble this woman? She has done a good service for me, for you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. By pouring this ointment on my body, she has prepared me for burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever this good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her.
Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said,
"What will you give me if I betray him to you?"
They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying,
"Where are you going?"
He said,
"Go into a city, to the city, to a certain man, and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'"
So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said,
"Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me."
And they began greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another,
"Truly, I am Lord."
He answered,
"The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as is written of him, but woe to the one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for him not to have been born."
Judas, who betrayed him, said,
"Surely not I, Rabbi."
Jesus replied,
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said,
"Take, eat, this is my body."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"You will all become deserters because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you."
Jesus said to him,
"Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
Peter said to him,
"Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you."
And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me."
And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want."
Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter,
"So you could not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
And again he went away for the second time and prayed,
"My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done."
Again he came to them and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking a rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's get going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying,
"The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him."
At once he came up to Jesus and said,
"Greetings, Rabbi."
Then Judas kissed him. Jesus said to him,
friend, do what you are here to do.
Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
"Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen this way?"
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
"Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled."
Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter followed him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus, so that they might put him to death. And they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said,
"This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'"
The high priest stood up and said,
"Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?"
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him,
"I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God."
Jesus said to him,
"You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
"He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?"
They answered,
"He deserves death."
Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said,
"You also were with Jesus the Galilean."
But he denied it before all of them, saying,
"I do not know what you are talking about."
When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders,
"This man was with Jesus of Nazareth."
Again he denied it with an oath,
"I do not know the man."
After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter,
"Certainly you are."
He began to curse, and he swore an oath,
"I do not know the man."
At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all of the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him and led him away and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said,
"I have sinned by betraying innocent blood."
But they said, throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking up the pieces of silver, said, conferring together, "They used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day." Then it was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of one on whom a price had been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set the price, and they gave them for a potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus said,
"You say so."
But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him,
"Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?"
But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. At the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. After they had gathered, Pilate said to them,
"Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?"
For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them,
"Which of the two do you want me to release for you?"
And they said,
"Barabbas."
Pilate said to them,
"Then what should I do with Jesus who is called the Messiah?"
And all of them said,
"Let him be crucified."
Then he asked,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
But they shouted all the more,
"Let him be crucified."
So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying,
"I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves."
Then the people as a whole answered,
"His blood be on
Barabbas for them." And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they came out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. They sat down and kept watch over him. Over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him, saying, The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice,
"Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?"
That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But others said, Cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tomb and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those who were with him, who were keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, Pilate said to them,
"You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can."
So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
But I don't really like Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday or the sixth Sunday of Lent or whatever this day is supposed to be called. I find it, the reason I don't like it is it's too cluttered. It's too confusing. We start with the procession and then all of a sudden we're in the Passion and it's confusing and cluttered. You know, at one time in the 50s and the 60s, this Sunday was simply Palm Sunday, and we did it up royally. We would decorate even more than on Easter and assumed that the rest of the story after Palm Sunday we would get throughout Holy Week. We would come back to church on Maundy, Thursday and hear about the Last Supper and the agony in the garden and the arrest of Jesus. And then we would come back to church again on Friday, on Good Friday, and hear about the trial and the humiliation of Jesus and the journey to the cross and the crucifixion. But as attendance at those Holy Week services lessened and the shift began to go from Palm Sunday to Passion Sunday, or to combine these two Sunday remembrances. The rationale was that if folks were skipping Maundy, Thursday, skipping Good Friday, they would move from the hosannas of Palm Sunday to the hosannas of Easter morning, this Sunday and next Sunday, and skip the cross completely. So the church folks said, well, let's read the Passion story on Palm Sunday. But I think there may be a better reason for this combination of Palm Sunday / Passion Sunday. Because the reading of the Passion for Lent isn't so much a build-up to Good Friday, but Lent is a season for us to hear the stories of Jesus and remind us what it means to be a follower of his. This year during Lent, we heard great stories of people seeking to know Jesus. We heard about Nicodemus, the woman at the well in Samaria, the man who had received his sight, of Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha. The story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem is the culmination of those readings as we are invited to shout our hosannas to Jesus, the one that we have come to know better during Lent and are now prepared to follow. Reading the Passion story on this Sunday turns us toward Holy Week as we are reminded what happened to Jesus as he challenged the powers that were in control in the world. You know, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem wasn't at all like the holiday parades or the Rose Bowl parade. It was more like a protest march
than a parade. Jesus came riding into town like a returning king, and that's how the crowds greeted him. The hosannas that they shouted were both religious and political. Religious meanings and political meanings. Hosanna is not only a shout of praise and joy. Hosanna is a Hebrew word that means save us, we pray. The crowd shouting Hosanna is both greeting Jesus as the Messiah, Hosanna, hooray, and they were shouting Hosanna, save us. They expected the Messiah to overthrow the Romans. And the Romans were paying attention to this Jesus. In fact, this Hosanna procession, this political protest march, is what led to Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus wasn't just offending the religious leaders by claiming the truth that he is the Messiah. He was a threat to the political leaders because he proclaimed another kingdom, the kingdom of God, and he invited people to give their allegiance to that kingdom first. Jesus was a threat. Turning the world upside down, proclaiming God's kingdom, challenging everyone to see this new kingdom. The truth of that Palm Sunday event was shouted in those hosannas. The crowd was right, well, half right. Jesus did come as the Messiah. But the crowd was wrong, too. Jesus came to change the world, but not how they expected. Not as a regime change with violence by overthrowing the Romans who were occupying their land, but rather by the love of God poured out upon the world in a way that makes everything new, that destroys all of the old lines and separations, all of the old distinctions and categories, proclaiming God's kingdom that forms all of us, all of God's people, into his beloved people. Yes, Jesus was a threat to the people who wanted him to be a political king, and also to the people who wanted to follow the Messiah. And Jesus is a threat to us today, if we're honest about it. He threatens our fondness for defining ourselves by separating us and them, we from the others. He threatens our desire to secure our own fortune by hoarding wealth and power. He threatens our desires to draw lines and make rules about who is in and who is out, who's acceptable and who is not. He threatens the very nature of things, affirming in the resurrection that God's love is stronger than hate, that God's life is stronger than death. Jesus continues to turn the world upside down. He continues to threaten our reliance on wealth and privilege and good works, our reliance on our relationships, and even on our sufferings and limitations. He threatens our reliance on anything other than God's mercy. No matter what we trust in, we'll be disappointed if it's anything other than God's word declaring to us that we are not just acceptable, but we are blessed and we are beloved. The palm procession into Jerusalem and that protest march to the cross shows us just how far Jesus is willing to go to show us God's unconditional love and acceptance. This Sunday, whether we call it Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday, or the sixth Sunday of Lent, or all of these things, we hear this message of mercy and grace and love. And we join our voice in shouting hosannas of joy and hope in the midst of our cluttered and confusing lives today. Amen.